This morning, if you would open up to, where are we? Chapter 9. Is that where we are? Oh, good. I'm on the right chapter finally. See, there is a God, and he's good. So let's dig right in here. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews." First time we've seen that with him speaking to them. Usually it's my people. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me." And we know that we're always freed to serve. He doesn't free us to just go a different direction, but freed to serve him. And we've seen some of these plagues that have come upon Egypt and Israel. We've seen some of these things that have happened. But we see also that the longer we go, the more destructive these plagues get, the harder they get, the more they start touching man and mankind and the living things that are around. And we certainly can't mess with the things of the Lord. We don't want to mess with the things of the Lord. But we see the destruction that sin brings. That is, the longer we stay in it, the longer we hold on to those sins that we want, the harder and the deeper the affliction that comes. And boy, it can be so destructive. And if we think that we've got a little hold on sin and that God is going to forgive me, which he can and he wants to, but it doesn't mean that the consequences aren't going to be there. And we've got to be careful of our own hearts that we don't dabble with sin and think that we're okay just because God doesn't deal with it right away. He's still upset with it. He hates sin. He is not going to have any sin before him, and he doesn't want us to dabble in those sins either and to keep practicing those sins and to keep holding on to those sins because they are so destructive to our spirit, to our physical life, that they just bring destruction and just bring us down. And he wants us to rise above the things of this world, not to go down to the depths, but to rise above those things. And we're going to see how Pharaoh goes. We already know the story. You've read it. You've seen it. You've seen the destruction that comes to him because he won't listen to God. And yet we have to point the fingers at ourselves, too, is how often do we not listen to what God wants to tell us? Well, this teaching must be for somebody else because it can't be for me because I'm good. Well, we need it right away for that one, too. So thus saith the Lord unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, tell him. This is what I want you to tell him. For if you refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle. Notice it's your stuff now, Pharaoh, that it's going to be upon. It's upon your cattle, which is in the field. It's upon the horses, it's upon the asses, it's upon the camels, it's upon the oxen, it's upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain or pestilence or plague is the meaning of that word. It's the only time that word is used in Scripture. It's just an amazing word that comes out. But this pestilence, it's almost like the emphasis comes upon it. These things were coming just upon the fields and all of those things, the water, the crops and all those things, but now starting to touch the animal life, those things that were near and dear to the people's hearts, the food supplies and all of those things as the Lord starts to touch those. And we see those things coming on around us, don't we? The food supply, the shortages, all of a sudden there's shortages. Where did they come from? And you wonder if God isn't trying to get the attention of the world. Oh, and may he have our attention, because in these days, in these times, the Lord is moving, the Lord is working. We see him working in the Middle East. We see those things that are coming, but we realize that also as those things are happening there, that there's things happening here. And God is pouring out his judgment upon many countries, and I think America is one of those countries, because we see things happening and laws being voted in that shouldn't be. if we were following the things of the Lord. And I think God's hand of judgment is upon us just to show us he's not excited about the things that America is. And we can't just look at America. Then we have to go to the depths of our own heart. What sin are we playing with that God wants to touch? And if we're playing with sin, we know that we're going to get burned. We know those things are going to be dealt with by God because God loves us. It isn't because he hates us and wants to keep us from something. It's that he wants to keep us from destruction and to follow his ways. They're the only good ways, the only right ways. And so if you know Jesus this morning, just let him speak to your heart. Let him examine your heart and show you where you are. We don't even know the depths of our heart. Jeremiah cried out about that. Lord, my heart's so deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Where is it? Where do those things come from? We get surprised at our own sin sometimes. And yet God isn't surprised because he knows it's there and he wants to deal with it. And he wants us to stop just for our own good so that he'll be glorified in the midst of it by our lives. But Pharaoh, if you refuse to let him go, this is what's coming. And isn't that grace? A lot of people don't see a gracious God in the Old Testament, but I see this as being grace because he tells them and he warns them, this is what's going to happen. Instead of just pouring it out like we've seen a couple of the plagues and we're going to see another one here this morning in this chapter, he just sometimes does it. But always warning, always giving that option for people to come into that place of having a choice. And they have a choice to either accept the things of the Lord or disregard the things of the Lord. And there's consequences to both. There's blessings in obedience, but there's certainly consequences to sin. And sometimes those consequences go deep and they hurt a lot. And they just don't hurt us, they hurt the people around us. And for us as Christians, is proclaiming Christianity in our lives, we certainly want to keep ourselves pure before God so that the world can see what God can do in a life. Because as we enter into sin, it hurts those around us. It hurts our testimony. It hurts those that are closest to us and those that are witnessing us, seeing how we live, seeing who we are, to keep ourselves in that place of just walking in the things of the Lord. And it says in verse 4, is he speaks to Pharaoh. This has got to add insult to injury. Because in verse 4, he says, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. Not that the cattle are different, but who owns them is different. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children's of Israel. Really? Lord, you're going to do that too? How do you do that, Lord? But we've got a God that can do it. The world thinks that they have control on things, and yet God soon shows us that I can touch down here and do something, and yet it won't affect your neighbor. Look at tornadoes, how much damage it can do in a whole neighborhood, and yet one house will be standing, or a church will still be standing, or the cross of the church will still be standing up and the rest of the church destroyed. It's just amazing how he can touch and move and just bring those things to pass. For our attention, and we should be paying attention to the things that are going on. We see how everything is being torn down in the world and destroyed and being brought together for a one world government. We know that that's going to have to come to pass. Scripture tells us. But awful destruction is in the middle and before it. But afterwards, as Jesus comes and returns to planet Earth and steps down on planet Earth, the world is going to come back into order. And thank you, but because he's the only one that can do it. Antichrist can't do it. We see it in Revelation. He comes and he brings peace, which amazes the world, peace to Israel, which hasn't been since they've been around. There's been no peace there. And the Antichrist brings this peace treaty that just amazes the world and says, this must be the man. This is the one that can bring it for us. But he only lasts a very short time. And it all breaks loose because God is not satisfied with it. It isn't God's plan that we would serve Antichrist. It's his plan that we would serve Jesus Christ. So he's going to sever the plague between Israel and Egypt. And it says in verse 5, and the Lord appointed a set time. He's got everything planned. He's got everything in order. He's got everything ready. And he says, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, just like he said he was going to do. And all of the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Not one perished in the plague. As the Lord starts showing, this is what I can do. This is mine. Your God, and he's coming against the gods of Egypt. Remember, they have a god for everything, the god, the bull god, the moon god, the sun god. They have all these gods that are going on around. Even the lice had a god. They came out of the earth, and they had an earth god. They have a god for everything. But the trouble is, which one do you pray to, and when do you pray to him? I'm just thankful I have one God to pray to, because I have enough trouble praying to one rather than 20 or 30. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. He just sent out an emissary to see, did really they do what God said he was going to do? He still doesn't believe God. He still doesn't trust God. Well, let me just check it out just to make sure he's right. Isn't that amazing? He's had the presence of God before him, working miracles, working signs, but they didn't do anything for him. So we see that signs and miracles don't change us. It's the God of those miracles and signs that change us. It isn't the promises of God that keep us. It's the God of those promises that keep us. We trust the promises of God, but we don't look to those for salvation. We look to the God of those promises for salvation. The promises are wonderful, and they're for us, and we want to hold on to them and look at them and examine them. But we want to trust the God of those promises, because there's a lot of people that use God's principles and feel that they're okay because they work, and they work in the ways of the world, but they're not trusting the God of those promises. And that's where we want to be. Lord, I love your word and I love your promises, but I want to trust you. He's the one that's written this for us. And so we want to trust him in the midst of it. He sends and he looks at the cattle of Israel, and they're still alive. All his cattle are dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Oh, the more they see something working in your life, the harder they get and the harder they resist what it is. But Lord, this looks so enticing over here, but it's not going to help you. It's going to harden your heart towards me, and it's going to draw you into the ways of the world, and it's going to destroy you. Oh, and our hearts just break as we see people submit to the ways of the world rather than to the things of the Lord. We see it in churches. We see it all the way through. It doesn't matter where we are. It matters who we know and how we're trusting him. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 8, as he deals with him here, as he deals with not only Moses and Aaron, but also Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, take you a handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. So this judgment is coming through. He doesn't warn Pharaoh this time. He's already dealt with him many times, and now he comes and he just brings this to pass from the furnace. In Scripture, we see, you can write it down. It's in Isaiah 48:10. It talks about the furnace of affliction. In the furnace of affliction in Egypt, they become the furnace of affliction for the people of Israel. And out of this furnace, and in this furnace, he's going to bring this plague that's going to come forth. But this is also the place for Egypt where tradition tells us that the Egyptians would burn the people who had gotten these diseases, these boils. And they would burn them there because they figured it was one the God of that would heal their land and keep them from boils. What we do in the name of religion, and it has no relationship with the Lord at all. Because God doesn't kill people just to stop a plague. He wants people to be alive. He wants to bring life to people. And yet the Egyptians and the rest of the world want to kill people. We see some nations that are against Israel, and they're sacrificing their own people just so that they can get to destroy Israel. That is not God's heart. And yet they're doing it in the name of religion. They're doing that in the name of their God and saying, this is what God, our God wants. Oh, my God doesn't. And the God of the Bible doesn't. He wants to bring life to people, and he always offers opportunities to do that. So he says, take you a handful of ashes from the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it towards heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all of the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon men and upon the beasts throughout all of the land of Egypt. So it's starting to touch people now. It's starting to afflict the people that are there with these boils, these itching things. And we know what it did to Job. It says that he sat on a pile of ashes and just scraped himself with a piece of pottery, with the boils and everything else that was there. Just, ugh. It doesn't sound like a good thing to have. I think it's in Isaiah that it calls it a botch. It even sounds like a bad word, doesn't it? You want a botch? No. I don't know what it is, and no, I don't want it. I mean, it doesn't sound like an ice cream cone. It says, you want a botch? No. I don't care what language it is. Botch doesn't sound good. It's just so amazing that we would choose that rather than the goodness of God. I'd rather have a botch than the goodness of God. Whew. But sometimes we vote for it, don't we? Because the botch can be an affliction. And sometimes we put it into law. And sometimes we put it into our desires. I'd rather have this than walk with the Lord and have his goodness in my life. I think I can make a better decision than my God. Even though he's told me no, I want to go and do it. Because it's enticing me. It's leading me. So they took the ashes in verse 10 of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast, and the magicians, could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians in that place. And notice it's not upon Israel, it's upon Egypt, it's upon the magicians, it's upon all of them. And can you imagine the hardness of heart that has to come, that we could come to a place and say, this is okay, I'd rather have this than to walk with the Lord. I'd rather be afflicted so much with this than to be in the presence of my God. And yet God is severed now, and Israel is free of these things, but the Egyptians still didn't want what Israel had. They would rather have what they had than to go in that place and associate themselves with Israel, with their God, and what their God can do. And we see the world doing the same thing. We have God, and he's shown himself to be faithful and true, and yet much of the world wants what God doesn't want for them. And again, it's not for evil that he's bringing in upon them. This is just the consequences of what sin does. And we think how awful it is for death to come. And yet God never intended death to come into the world. That's why it's so hard for us to deal with death, because we just don't have the capability of dealing with it, because he made us to live forever. And when we chose sin, sin came in and people died, and we just don't understand how to deal with it, how to go through with it, how to get comforted in the midst of it. And yet he still brings comfort, because he's the God of all comfort for every situation. He can bring comfort in the midst of it, but we still don't know how to deal with it. And yet each and every one of us are going to have to deal with it one time or another. And the only way we can deal with it is to know the God who's able to bring us through, because his own son died. He knows how to bring comfort in the midst of it, to bring hope through it. So the magicians couldn't stand before Moses because of the boils. Can you imagine as they sit there with their pointed hats on and their wands and doing all their stuff? All I can think of is what Disney's Sorcerer's Apprentice or something like that, just playing the music and just getting worse and worse. It's just, and they're trying to do their stuff and they can't even do their stuff. And it's almost humorous to see how man's attempts to proclaim themselves to be God, bring them to a place of thinking that they can stand before anything and do everything. And yet God shows them, you have no power to do anything. We have a God who can do everything. And so we need to trust God. And God brings those circumstances in those news reports to our lives, and we think, Lord, I can't stand any longer. And yet it isn't our strength that we're standing in. The magicians are standing in their own strength because they're not leaning on God. Moses and Aaron are in that place, and they're standing. Why? Because the presence of the Lord in their lives enables them to stand in spite of all the trials that the world is falling apart with. And that's for you and I. You look at Ephesians chapter 6, and I encourage you, especially in the days that we're in with the accounts that we're reading, get to Ephesians 6. Look at the armor of God. See what you need to put on your life and have in your life so that you can stand against the temptations of the world that are coming against you right now. If you're born again, even if you're not born again, but if you're seeking the Lord and seeking who He is, He has something for you, but the enemy is going to come against you to tempt you, to turn your eyes away from God and to turn them to something else, and He wants you to stand. And you can't stand in your own strength. It's going to be God's strength that helps you to stand. But as you put on the armor of God, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, after you've put all these things on, stand. Don't falter and fall down to the ways of the world, but stand in the strength of the Lord. Lord, I don't have any strength to stand. I know. That's why I'm giving you my strength. When you're weak, then I'll be strong. And we are weak creatures. We get upset at the strangest things. And we go crazy at the strangest things. And yet God wants us to stand. And we've got to come to a place of either trusting His word or doubting His word. And all the circumstances that are around us are going to show us who we're trusting. Am I trusting your word, or am I trusting my sight? And we can't walk through this world by sight. We have to walk through this world by faith. We're not going to see God, but we're going to know He's real. If you're born again, you know God is real. And if you know God is real, then you have the opportunity today, tomorrow, next week, to stand against those temptations that are coming. And the temptations are there, aren't they? Temptations to curse somebody, temptations to get upset with somebody, temptation to think that you're doing better than everybody else. Because after all, you come to church twice a week. I read my Bible every day. I got to be good. Those people don't do that. Temptation is there. We are better than nobody. The only one that is good is God. And if He's in us, we're righteous. We're not better. We're just righteous because of Him, not because of us. We can't even clothe ourselves in heavenly places. He has to give us a robe of righteousness and put it on us because we couldn't even find one and get enough material together to get righteousness. And yet He clothes us with it, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So it says in verse 12 that the Lord then hardened the heart of Pharaoh. It was already being hardened, so he just let it go, is really the meaning of it. And he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And so the Lord said unto Moses, isn't it interesting as you look at this, every time something goes on, he says, as he told Moses. Why'd he keep telling Moses? Because Moses was looking at it and going, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know how come. And God kept saying, it's because of me. It's because of me. It's because of me. You trust my word in the situation that you're in. You trust my presence in the ways of the world that are around you, trying to draw you away, trying to tempt you, trying to distract you. You trust me. He has to keep telling him. And yet Moses, it says in Scripture, was one of the greatest men of God. He saw God. He saw the glory of the Lord. I spoke to him face to face, the Lord says. And if he had to keep telling Moses all this time, stay in my word, trust my word, do my word, what do we think we are? Are we better than Moses? Oh, are we greater than Moses that we don't have to? That's why we keep encouraging you, stay in your Bibles, keep reading, keep praying, keep being in fellowship. These are the places of strengthening. it's not that you have to be here. It's that you get to be here and you get to be involved in what God says he wants to have happen, because we need it. We need each other. We need the presence of the Lord in this place and in every place that we are, so that we can stand and walk through the days rightly. And if he told Moses this many times, how many times does he need to tell us? Well, Lord, I'm tired of you telling me. Did you ever do that to your parents? Hands on your hips. I'm tired of it. I want to get out on my own. You're only 12. What are you going to do? I'll get my own place. Right. With what job? Amazing. And we keep doing it. And then we figure out finally, when we're in our 20s and some of us in our 30s or 40s, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's got to be God. So the Lord says unto Moses in verse 13, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. I want you to come to that place of standing against the evil that's in the world. Isn't that what he's telling him? Pharaoh is the spirit of Antichrist, and he's there in the world, and he said, I want you to stand before Pharaoh. Moses, you're just a man, but if I have my presence in your life, then you're able to stand before the evil that's in the world. Do you ever feel like you couldn't stand before the evil that's in the world? Many people have fallen because they couldn't stand before the evil anymore. They couldn't stand before the temptation and resist it. They had to give in. And yet he tells them to stand before Pharaoh. Put my armor on, stand before Pharaoh. Moses didn't have any armor that we could see, but God saw it and God put it on him. And he can do the same for you. You don't have to go around with aluminum foil on your head and a robe on thinking that you're some great man of God. I remember when one of my grandsons was little, he was with us all the time, and I was Goliath, and he was Davy. I had this aluminum foil helmet on, and I had my bathrobe on, and he's swinging this robe thing and hitting me. I think he just loved hitting me. I don't know. Because as soon as he hit me, I had to fall down. But the trouble is, once you fall down, you got to get up again. It gets harder and harder. I can't do that anymore. But the armor that Moses had, we couldn't see. He just had a robe. He had a staff. But it was the presence of the Lord. You may not have armor that's going to stop a bullet from coming through you, but you've got a God that can resist it. He can resist all the fiery darts of the enemy, because it's that shield of faith that quenches those things. Lord, it's your armor. It's you that I need to have. It says, stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. And there it is again in this chapter here twice now, ministering the Hebrew name. Let my people go that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart. Where is he sending them? Not upon his skin, not upon his feet, not upon his legs, his heart. Because the heart is where the will is. I want to break your will. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my heart needs to get broken, because I become so resistant against my God that I think I got things together and I think I can do something. This has been a strange week. It's been a hard week. And I needed my heart broken to trust God that he's going to get me through and he's going to get God's people through. And he can do that. He wants to do that in spite of what goes on. But Lord, break my heart. The broken and contrite heart, it tells us in the Psalms, is what the Lord honors. It's what the Lord wants. He'll see that broken and contrite heart, and he'll say, that's my child. That's the one I can trust with my word. That's the one I can trust with my presence. It's going to come upon your servants and upon your people, that you may know that there is none like me. All these plagues are just there so that people will know there's a God. Oh, for now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up. For very deed in this place I've raised you up for this, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And many people put this as God chooses some for evil and God chooses some for good. That isn't the case. He already knows the end of Pharaoh. He already knows what he was going to do. And so he says, I've raised you up in this. And I've allowed you to do it because this is what your heart wanted. But because of this, I'm going to show my glory to the world. and I'm going to show how that strength that you have is going to falter and fail. It tells us this in Romans chapter 9, somewhere in there. There we go. In Romans chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, it says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." And it isn't because God chooses one over another. He chose us all, because he came and died for the sin of the whole world. He didn't die just for some that were going to choose him. He died for all, whether we choose him or don't choose him. In verse 17, he says, "As of yet, you exalt yourself against my people." Pride is always against God. Pride is hated by God. God hates pride and arrogancy. And yet we see it so much, even in the church. And it's so sad because we're a people who think we need to have pride. And we'll have pride about anything. I'm the best cook in the world. I'm the best athlete in the world. You ever see the athletes? I pick on them so much, but it's good. Because they do what they're getting paid millions of dollars to do. And a guy tackles somebody, and he stands up and he goes, "Oh, you just did what you're getting paid millions of dollars to do. What is this pride thing? I've got to show myself that I'm better than you. I've got to show myself that I'm better than anybody else." But how quickly it fades, doesn't it? Because they last 2 years in pro football, and then they're done. And they're a has-been, and they'll never have that fame again. You and I are going to have a name with God for eternity. That's better than millions of dollars can ever be. That's better than fame for five games in a season will ever be. It's better than anything the world can offer. I'm just so thankful God loves us. You have exalted yourself against my people that you will not let them go. Aren't they still in that place? We've got God's people and we're holding them. They're still in that place. Sin is still the same. Behold, tomorrow, there's the appointed time again. There's going to be an appointed time for everything. He knows the appointed time that he's going to come and rapture the church. Are you ready? Well, sure, I'm ready, but I just don't want it to be this afternoon because I want to see a brand new grandbaby. And we just found out last night we're having another great grandbaby. It's just like I could still go home before that baby comes. I love that baby, even though I don't know who she is or what she is or what her name is. But I know my God, and I want to go see him. "Tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send now, therefore, and gather your cattle and all that you have in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and the cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord," if you haven't caught it, God's saying something here to Christians. "If you listen to the word, you're going to be safe. If you don't listen to the word, you're going to die." And the people that don't listen to the word of the Lord and his instruction and his cautions and his things, his words that he wants to say to you before you enter into sin, if you're not listening, you're going to die spiritually, step by step. We don't die because all of a sudden we enter into a sin and we die from it right away. We die little by little and we harden our hearts just a little bit more and we go and do something and then we got to go and do something else and then we've got to go and do something else and pretty soon we're dead to the things of the Lord and we don't even care about his word anymore. You don't do it all of a sudden. It just comes little by little. And if you find yourself in that place of just disregarding the word of the Lord right now, repent and turn quickly before you get hurt, before you suffer the consequences of what's to come. "He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. The field becomes the world. We see that in Matthew 13 in the parables that are there. It says the field is the world. We see what's going on. The cattle are in the field. If they didn't regard the word of the Lord, what did they do? They left their servants. That shows just how much care they have for their servants and those that are around them. And if you don't love the things of the Lord this morning and honor the word of the Lord, then you really don't care about the people that are around you. And you don't care about the Lord. And it hurts the people that are around you. Because Pharaoh didn't tell them to get the cattle in, his servants died. Because the hailstones came down and killed people. And we see in Revelation the same thing happening in chapter 16, don't we? We see a lot of these plagues come to pass in chapter 16. We'll take a little bit of a look at it in a sec, but it says that the hailstones that come down in Revelation weigh 100 pounds. Where are you going to get protection from a 100-pound hailstone? We saw a picture the other day of a hailstorm that hit one of the states, and it ruined all the solar panels that they had put up because the hailstones were so big, they just damaged the solar panels. Oops, there was their income. Where are you going to hide from a 100-pound hailstone? Well, I'll get in my car. Oh, yeah? I'll get under a bridge. We saw what one ship could do to a whole bridge in Baltimore just a few weeks ago. And a hailstorm isn't one stone. It's a bunch. How are you going to hide? Oh, if you're not in the ark. That's why it's so wonderful as you go through. You look at Noah in the ark and you see the people come into the ark and they're protected and they're kept through it. And we see that the ark of the covenant, the trust in who Jesus was, if you're in the ark, you're safe with him. And if you're not in the ark, you suffer the consequences of wanting your own way. It hurts, and it hurts those around us. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, oh my goodness. You people are going slow this morning. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth your hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Notice it says the land of Egypt, not Goshen. And Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire along the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, so that there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. That's even worse. You got 100-pound stones come down, and they're coming down in fire. Very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became the nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. And only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Amazing. Amazing. In Revelation 16, it's just so amazing as you look at some of these that come through. The vials are being poured out in Revelation 16. The plagues get worse and worse, and they go through, and we see so many of them that look just the same. All these things are going on. We see in verse 10 of Revelation 16, it says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And they blasphemed the God of heaven besides their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the river, the water was dried up by the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. We've seen the frogs and the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the whole earth and the whole world to gather them to battle in that day. Unbelievable, the things that are going to go on. But some of them are already mentioned here in Exodus. And you see it travels all the way through Scripture. And you realize how great a God we have to warn us, to tell us, to strengthen us to not enter into those things. And some of our sins bring about such great afflictions in the world. You look at AIDS and you see how great of affliction that has become that kills people. And yet people still enter into those practices because they would rather have that and die than to have life everlasting. Isn't it sad that our lust takes such control over us that our lust controls us and becomes our God and not the true and the living God? See so many other diseases that have come and taken mankind hostage. Only those in Christ are free. And so in verse 27 it says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, said unto them, I've sinned this time. Did you catch that? This time I sinned. All the other times I didn't sin. Amazing. I sinned this time. What about the other 370,000 times? Oh no, that wasn't me. That was somebody else's fault. Only this time. It's amazing. There's still pride in this guy. His people are dying. His servants are being killed. His cattle are being killed. The fields are being destroyed. Everything's getting torn up. And he said, well, maybe I should have done something different. Hello? The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. So entreat the Lord, for it is enough. But as you look at that, you say, okay, that's good. No, it isn't good. Because he's not asking the Lord himself. He wants somebody else to do it for me. You intercede for me. I don't want that relationship with the Lord. I want you to have that relationship with the Lord. And I'll stay the way that I am. But just have him bring good things to my life. Isn't that sad? That people want somebody else to pray for him, to intercede for him instead of them doing it themselves. There is no salvation there. There is not salvation in somebody else praying for you. There's salvation when you have a relationship with God yourself. Entreat the Lord for me, because this is enough. This is enough, Lord. I can't take any more. Yeah. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou shouldest know, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it tells us in Psalm 24, doesn't it? It's his. It's not yours, Pharaoh. And that's what Moses is telling him. This is not yours. This is the Lord's. You know what gets me? The thunder and the hail are going on, and Moses is right in the midst of it. And he said, when I get outside the city, then I'll pray. You just wonder, was there this thing over Moses where he was going along and there's no rain hitting him? And he's in bright sunshine standing before Pharaoh. What is going on here? I don't know. It's amazing. But the Lord can bring him through it and protect him in the midst of it. Can the Lord bring you through this world and protect you in it and get you home to heaven? Yes, he can. Lord, I need your strength because mine is weak. Mine is failing. And I'm heading towards things that aren't good for me. My heart is hard. The desires of my life are headed towards the things of the world and not headed towards you. That's why he tells us so often in Colossians 3 and in Matthew 6, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he'll add all the things that you need to take you through, to bring you through. He'll add those things to your life. As you walk with him, he'll add things to your life. He'll add goodness and mercy in long-suffering. He'll bring those things to you. Lord, I don't want long-suffering because you don't know my husband. You don't know my neighbor. I don't want to be long-suffering. I want a frying pan. Come on, just one shot. Let me. I'll bring long-suffering to you. I'll bring that to your life. Lord, I can't go one more step. And folks, a lot of people get to that place. I can't go one more step. Folks, he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Hold on to the God who said that. Don't let that go because there's Christians that have come into this world who are out of this world who haven't been able to go on. But God hasn't failed. It's us that fail. You can hold on to him and trust him and he'll bring you through that one last step. He knows you can't go one more step, but he also knows that he can take you one more, and then one more, and then one more, and then one more. He's the one that can keep you. You can't keep yourself. He says in verse 30, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. and the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear. In other words, it was budded and already growing, and the flax was bold. It was in that place where the flower was there, and in the flower was the seed, and it was starting to bud and all that stuff. Got a pear tree out in front of our house, and the white flowers are on it, so we know that the pears are coming. But it isn't there yet. So they were bold. They're in that place in the flower. But look at the grace of the Lord. And we see that those things were smitten. That's their food groups. They're getting hurt. But look at the grace of the Lord. Look at the next verse. He says, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not yet grown up. That's grace. God could have taken out all their food crops, and yet he didn't. He left enough for them to know that he was God. His timing is perfect. And we have some things in our lives that sometimes things are taken from us and things are smitten before us. And we cry out, Lord, it's not fair. And yet there's grace enough to get us through to the next one. It's the grace of God that keeps us. It's not we ourselves. It's the grace of God. Know his grace, for in his grace is strength. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured out upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. In other words, he added to. Isn't it awful that we can add to our sin? Well, I can add lust to my desire, and I could add covetousness to that, and I can add greed to that, and I can add this, and we keep adding. Because once you add sin, you're going to want more sin. And you just keep adding to it until you're completely corrupted and worth absolutely nothing. We look at the folks, especially in the world now, and there seems to be an epidemic, and we know there's an epidemic of drugs, but some of the greatest minds and some of the greatest authority figures have gotten into drugs, and they start losing their jobs. They lose their families. They lose their homes. They lose their cars. They're living on the streets, because they can't stop snorting this stuff into their mouth, into their mind, up their nose. And it's so awful. And it finally kills them. And we can add to one thought, and we can start adding to it. And another thought, because it doesn't stop. Isn't it amazing that the things of the world, you have to keep adding to it? But the things of the Lord, it's complete in and of itself. But the world, you have to keep adding because you want one more thing. It's never enough. It's like Nelson Rockefeller said when they asked him how much is enough, and he said, one more dollar. Isn't that amazing? Richest guy in the world. I need one more buck, and I'm going to get it from somebody. Amazing. But we do that, don't we? We can't point our fingers at him. We got to look at ourselves. We do the same thing. Well, I got high this one time. Well, I need another one. Oh, that's not satisfying now. I need to go get more of something else. And things that we would never do once, we're now doing because we've been hardened and we're allowing ourselves to enter into that place. One more thing. Instead of one more thing of the Lord, we want more, one more thing of the world. Ugh. And it says in verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Moses, I told you this is what was going to go on. The things were going to get hard. And folks, he's told us the same things. Moses is sitting there time after time. The people of Israel are mad at him because he hasn't gotten them out of Egypt yet. Did you ever get in that place? You're mad at God because he hasn't gotten you out of this world yet? Enough already, Lord. And we can get that way, but even that's a sin too, isn't it? Lord, help us. We can enter into sin in so many different ways and areas. But Lord, help us through these times. We're in dangerous days. We're in deceptive days. And the enemy's hard at work. Don't be deceived in thinking you'll be able to take it. You'll be able to handle it. You can get through sin. Give it over to God and let him take it and see the freedom that you have. But as you get that freedom from the Lord, it's there for so you can serve him more. We're freed to serve, not to take it upon ourselves, but to allow him to have more of us than he ever had before. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion and remember what you've done for us, Father, help us to remember who you are in all that's going on in the days that are around us. We're all in different circumstances and in different places and in different mindsets. But Lord, sin is still sin, and you're still God. And we know the answer to the things that are before us is you. It's not to have more of the world, but it's to have more of you. And you can help us through the days that we're here in. So, Father, have your way with us. Lord, if we've never been born again, if we've never accepted you as Lord and Savior, I just pray that you would touch our hearts today and minister to us and bring salvation today, Lord, that we would realize that you are God and that we need a Savior and that Jesus was that Savior that paid the price for us. Help them to come this morning, Lord, and to hear your word, hear the truth of it, and come to salvation because of Jesus. We ask that you just minister to our hearts as we meditate on you, Lord. Show us where we are, Lord, and then help us through it because you're our help, you're our strength, you're our hope. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just come this morning realizing more and more how much we need you and how good you are to us, Lord, that you would spare us, that you would give us life, that you would give us an opportunity to know you as Lord and Savior and to come to heaven with you. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We ask that you just minister to us now and speak to our hearts, Lord, about your goodness and your grace, that you, Lord, would go to the cross and pay the price for our sin. Such a costly price, and yet, Lord, you did it willingly because of your love for us. May that love sustain us. May that love keep us. May that love draw us ever closer to your heart, that we would know how good that love is and respond to it rightly, Lord, and not fall away and walk our own direction, Lord, but be drawn to you. We remember the Passover and Jesus pouring out love to his disciples, washing their feet, and just the closeness of your presence and in realizing what was going to come to pass, that in your goodness and your grace, even Judas at that time would walk away from you and not respond to your love rightly, but desire his own ways more than he would desire your ways, Lord. May our hearts not be in that place, Father, but instead that we would respond to you because of your love for us, because you loved us first, that we could love you and walk in your ways. Help us with that, Lord. We need you. We just give you thanks for all that you've done. We hold the bread in our hands and the cup in our hands, Lord, knowing your body that was broken and your blood that was poured out. And we take them now, loving you in return and thanking you for it, Lord. Remembering all that you've done. Remembering your strength that can keep us. May we believe it. May we trust it. May we know the truth of it, Lord, as we partake now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.